Hello, hello, hello. I am back. I am back after my last episode. We are now back in our crib. The condo experience is over and done with. That was actually quite a bit of fun. We'd gone to the down to the beach a couple of times. While we were there out of that month, but then, you know, we weren't there long. In the first couple of weeks, my son was still going to his therapies and whatnot, and so they were out a lot, and then we homeschooled both of them, so they had school and stuff. But then once all this coronavirus stuff hit, it just kind of killed it for all of us. I mean, I wasn't about to go take everyone down there. And plus, you know, I couldn't have gone a lot anyway because of my vertigo. But anyway, I mean, we may have spent 15 minutes down there each day that we went. And I took my cane and whatnot. But anyway, but yeah, they got the crib hooked up and it's nice. They redid a lot of stuff that had damage here from Hurricane Harvey in 2017, and so anyway, got it all fixed up, and we got everything moved back in, and we're chilling. We're pretty much staying home. My wife goes and picks up grocery orders. It's curbside pickup. One of them, we primarily go to Walmart, but other place here is where we're at has curbside pickup as well. So we're still quarantining ourselves, and hopefully no one gets it. But you never know with this thing. But yeah, I was gonna talk to y'all. Right now I've been on medical leave from work for almost 8 months now from my vertigo. But before that, I was actually working from home anyway. So if I was still working, I really wouldn't, other than here, I wouldn't have exposure of going to a place of business, you know, an office or work site or wherever. And so I would have been able to limit it. But anyway, one of the things I just wanted to mention to y'all, because I've seen it and I actually had my wife get on and kind of read stuff to me from the Texas Department of Insurance and some carrier sites and risk management sites here, Texas. But basically, and I'm going by, my experience as a workers' comp adjuster, and I've actually seen where there'll be an outbreak of regular flu, and there will be people that they know someone they work with that has it, and they'll come down with it, and basically those claims aren't considered compensable. My allergies are acting up. No, I do not have the COVID. So anyway, yeah, we usually will deny those claims because working, most jobs, their job does not put them at any greater risk of catching a virus or whatever than the general public. And it really looks to like it's going to be that way even with the COVID-19, and hopefully this thing doesn't pick up, because if it ends up where more and more people are hospitalized or whatever, and they can't afford to pay their share, or maybe they don't have insurance at all. Those who, think they catch it at work and file claims, they're going to 99% certainty that claim's going to be denied. they will be investigated, but, you know, how do you prove that you caught it? Number one, you caught it from work. Everybody's at greater risk, you know. That's why they're telling us to self-quarantine, because this stuff supposedly spreads like wildfire. And so, what I would suggest, though, is, you know, kind of make a list of people at work. If you see people with symptoms, or you know somebody that has it, that, you know, if somebody definitely tests positive for it that you work with, document it and see where they got it from. You know, if you can communicate with them, you may not be able to, but I mean, just kind of keep a timeline of, you know, how you feel each day. Kind of document your home activities, because if you ain't going out at home and the only place you're going is work, and someone has it at work and you're required to show up for work, you know, because if you're furthering the affairs of the employer, that means you're on the job, you're in course and scope, but you're also doing something towards that the employer's requiring you to do or ask you to do, or part of your normal job. Like if you're at work and you're at lunch and you just, you know, your knees start hurting and you're not furthering the affairs of the employer, you know, good chance that could be denied. That's just an example. So, you know, but keep track of it, because you can always challenge it. I know in Texas they have what's called Ombudsman, the Division of Workers' Comp does, and they represent people for free. But what you're going to need is a physician's. Like, if you go to the doctor, make sure you know, like, hey, I wasn't going out at home. I was going home. I was going straight to work. No one at home has it. I wasn't going in grocery stores. I wasn't, you know, making contact with people, whatever. And fight it that way. Because I can assure you that if they started having to accept every single claim that was filed on this, because I can imagine there's going to be a lot of them, I do believe that if there's significant medical treatment involved, that these carriers are going to really, like, be financially strained. Now, I do think at some point that first responders are pretty much going to be recovered, and law enforcement may very well be already, because they're considered on duty pretty much 24/7, 365 days a year, because they're always a cop, always a sheriff's deputy or whatever. So I do believe that if they get it, that they're more than, you know, I think they would have a really good chance. Now, to me, morally speaking, I don't see how medical professionals, EMTs, people like that should be denied. I don't, because they're putting their rear ends on the line for everyone else. And so I really don't see, you know, where they should be denied. But like I said, it all comes down to money. And I think that there's a good possibility that carriers may deny it initially, to where people have to fight these things. But like I said, you know, if you're going to work, make sure you're trying to document your daily activities. Because I'll tell you what, if someone had documented their daily activities and it was already documented, and they could just hand that over, and then they knew, like, if someone at work got it, and you know, and you can get their information, then whenever the investigation takes place, you can mention that, and your employer should be able to verify if someone had that or not. And even if they're able to speak, you know, they may be contacted as a witness, or maybe they could write a statement, hand write a statement saying that they have it. And that they worked with you, and, you know, whatever. And so, anyway, but I just wanted to pass that along, because I think there's a lot of people that are going to work, and they're thinking, okay, if I get this at work, I'm going to be able to put it under workers' comp, but that's not necessarily the case, because, like I said, you're probably going to be denied. And I know in Texas, they have a 7-day waiting period on any workers' comp claim that's accepted. If somebody is completely off work and not getting paid, you have to be out at least 7 days. And if you're out 7 days straight, or 7 days, you're back on to work on the 8th day, nothing is owed to you. Now, if you're out 8 days through 13 days, you get paid the 8th day through the 13th day, and that's it. If you're out 14 days, you get the, they go back and pick up the waiting period, and so you would get compensated. But, you know, if someone's out a month from work and they're not being paid, and, you know, you can get it can get expensive. And, you know, if your medical care's extensive and you have to be hospitalized, that could get expensive, you know. So anyway, but if something like that happens, I mean, feel free to contact me. I'll put up my email on here and you can contact me, but it's best just to try to work with the adjuster and try to present evidence of support your claim. But if you disagree with anything they do, most state insurance agencies, like the regulatory agencies, will have, you know, a way to appeal it. And like in Texas, it's, you know, starts out at a benefit review conference, then it goes to a contested case hearing after that if the parties don't agree. And, you know, a lot of times employers that have networks now, you know, I would ask to go to an infectious disease doctor if it was me. You know, maybe go to the initial doctor, but if there's a dispute about something, I would push you to go to an infectious disease doctor, and they may be able to tell you the history of the disease, and, you know, at one point you would have caught it or whatever. And then, because they're, and most networks won't have that, they won't have them listed, so you can pretty much pick your own. That's the way it works in every network I've seen. If someone, you know, if it's an area without a lot of doctors, they're going to have it where you can go see whoever you want, because you can't, like, you know, it's not fair to either party to go without treatment. The employees should be able to treat, and then, you know, if the employee's off and can't work, you know, it's not fair to the employer to just them to maintain an off work status from one, like an ER or whatever. So anyway, but I just wanted to pass that little tidbit of information on. I don't know how many of y'all are, you know, staying home altogether, going to work. I don't know what your exposure to this stuff is, but I'll say a prayer. God keeps everyone safe from this, and just do what everyone recommends, you know, CDC and whatnot, and try the best to keep yourself safe and whatnot. And like I said, you can always contact me. I'll put my email on here, and feel free to email me, and maybe I can help direct you and put you in the right direction. Anyway, until next time, signing off, your host, Robert Hutchins. I'm out.